you met with members of the media, doctor, to provide an important update on COVID-19 in our region and describe how social distancing works and why we're doing it. So before we get to social distancing, what is the latest update you have when it comes to COVID-19?
Well, here in North Carolina, the case count depends a little bit on where you look for it. If you look at on it, like, say, with the Johns Hopkins case count site, it's in the 80s somewhere. On the health department website, I believe it's 69. I mean, exact numbers don't mean a heck of a lot, but we're still less than 100. And so what does that mean? Well, most of the cases, in fact, all of the cases that we have known about through confirmed testing in North Carolina have been associated with people who've traveled to hotspot areas, got infected, and then brought it back here, or have been contact with somebody who has been identified through positive testing as having COVID-19. So we haven't measured or found anyone yet who have COVID-19 who say, hey, I got COVID-19, you're kidding. How the heck did I get that?
Right.
That we haven't had that yet. Now, does that mean COVID-19's not circulating in the community at a low level? Probably not, because we're not going out there testing millions and millions of people. So the state and infectious disease doctors think it probably is at a very low level in the community, but it isn't as substantial at all like what we've seen in California, mm-hmm, or Seattle or New York. Our cases will go up, our case numbers will go up. We're kind of low on that curve. We got a hill to go up yet, before it peaks. And we're kind of, we're about a little ways up the hill, enough to start getting a little bit, like, man, this hill's not going to be great, but it's still early for us. The one thing that we haven't seen, which is somewhat reassuring for everybody out there, is we haven't seen anyone admitted to the hospital who've had really needed to be there for a bad pneumonia with COVID-19. We haven't had any admissions that we know of to a hospital yet into an intensive care unit with COVID-19. And our emergency room visits are actually down, probably because people are social distancing.
Yeah.
Using an emergency room like they should have been all the time. So those are good things for right now. But, I think I would be overly optimistic if I said that we weren't going to be having cases, more cases, some hospitalizations, maybe even some ICU cases.
Yeah,
in the next week or so.
That's more. More cases are associated with more testing, correct?
That's true. That is true. The more you test, the more you find. We've had a little bit of an advantage here in North Carolina compared to New York or Seattle or California, that we've had a few more weeks to prepare for this before it came. So I want to use an analogy, if it's okay, Scott.
Sure.
I think this is something that North Carolinians will understand, because it comes every year. It's kind of like we have a COVID-19 hurricane. And we've been getting weather reports about this hurricane coming our way for 2, 3, 4 weeks now. And right now the hurricane's offshore. And what we don't know is whether this hurricane will be a Category 5 hurricane or whether it will be a Category 1 hurricane. So we've had some time to prepare for this, though, where places like New York and Seattle haven't. One of those things that we're doing to prepare is social distancing.
Yeah.
And with this hurricane, most hurricanes, there's nothing you can do. If it wants to come ashore as a Category 5, it's going to come ashore. This COVID-19 hurricane that's going to come ashore, we can do something about it. And what the goals of social distancing and all of these things that we're doing that frankly are a pain and make our lives kind of miserable, are to make sure it's a Category 1 or 2 hurricane rather than a Category 5 hurricane. And so, what it's really going to come down to is everyone doing their part. And it basically is just to keep people from transmitting the virus to each other.
Yeah, and you know that we still have that window of opportunity to act and make a difference, not only for ourselves, but of course our loved ones.
That's right. And you know, we want to protect the vulnerable people, particularly older people, people who have underlying diseases and stuff. Yeah, I know. You know, if you're 22 years old and you're healthy as a horse, you very good chance you're going to get through this, and it's just going to be a few days. You know, you might say, hey, you know, I really wanted to go do and, you know, hang out with my buddies and do the, you know, Fortnite or whatever you want to do.
Right.
But you know, everyone has to do their part. Everyone. Because we want to protect those vulnerable people. And I know it's arduous and I know it's hard. But you know, everyone is saying that this is the way we have a chance to make an impact. And there's some information now with those people in Asia who've gone through this that it actually might very, I think it's going to make a difference.
Yeah.
So be a good citizen. Be patriotic. This is for all of the people who live around us.
The head of the White House response to the coronavirus doctor saying the early indications that young people weren't so severely affected by the virus may have, in fact, been a little off, may have been wrong.
Well, you know, they do get the virus, and you have to be a little bit careful because, you know, we've all been saying all along that young people can have severe infection. It's just mostly it's the older people, and mostly it's the people who have underlying health problems. So it's much less likely in a young person. And also you have to look at that age info. A lot of those people do have underlying health problems but are still younger. So if you're, you know, 32 years old and you have bad asthma and end up getting hospitalized every year from your asthma, it's going to be more of an impact in you. I do not want to say, though, that young people can't have severe infections.
Right.
They can. It's just less likely.
Yeah, I want to go back to something you touched on also that kind of underscores just how much the pandemic has pivoted towards Europe and the U.S. in China, where authorities say that Wuhan and its surrounding province, no new cases to report.
Yeah, isn't that something?
Yeah.
Is either that bad news or good news? I think it's good news. And I think what it says is, and we still need to get more information about this, but I think what it says is that as the population becomes more and more immune, the virus has a lot more trouble going from person to person. And so I think that's encouraging. It also gives us a little bit of an idea of maybe how long we're going to have to be, you know, dealing with this.
Yeah.
At the level that we are now. And I don't know, you can count them up as well as I can on the calendar, but I think Wuhan started having big problems at the end of January, and now, you know, it's mid-March. So what is that, two and a half months?
Yeah.
So that might be what we're looking at. But what we're hoping is that because we did the social distancing earlier and we have been doing things earlier than what they did in their outbreak, limiting travel, so on and so forth, that we won't be as severely as affected as they were.
One final thing before I let you go here, Doctor. You know that there are sensible approaches to testing until we have more testing resources at our disposal. What do you mean?
Yeah, there are. You know, and right now, because it's just a fact, we're limited in the number of tests we have, and pointing fingers and blame games don't help. But what do we do? The people that we really would like to test are people, one, who are being admitted to the hospital. And there's a lot of reasons for that, but one is that having the diagnosis is good. It helps us as doctors to know what they have when they have more severe infection. Two is that we want to be able to use our isolation rooms and gowns and gloves as wisely as possible, and so that we don't run out. And knowing, having a positive test or a test that goes out there helps us with that. Because if we can say, hey, they don't have it, then we can take our gowns and gloves down and use those for other people. The other group of people we want to test are people who have more serious risks. elderly, people with underlying diseases and stuff, because if we know that we have them, we might be quicker to hospitalize them earlier and treat them a little bit differently in medical care. The third group of people that is maybe not quite as important to test are people who have, flu-like symptoms, and they're doing fine. They don't, they feel sick, but they don't have underlying diseases. They're okay. And those people can go home and have a home isolation, even if they're not tested. So, you could just say, I could have it, but I'm doing okay. So I'm going to isolate myself at home for at least 7 days and to try to protect other people around me. You know, maybe I'll move my spouse from this bedroom into another one for that period and make sure grandma doesn't come over. And I'm not going to be going to the grocery store. I'll send someone else to go do that. And you home isolate for 7 days. And the guidance from the state now is you home isolate for 7 days. And if your symptoms have been improving for at least 3 days, your fever is going away, your fever is totally away, and then the next day your cough is going away, then after 7 days you can stop your home isolation.
Dr. Christopher Ohl, infectious disease expert with Wake Forest Baptist Health, as COVID-19 continues, the pandemic continues throughout North Carolina and the nation. He has the latest info for us. So, Doctor, anything we need to touch on in closing here that is key to our listeners as we continue to monitor and make our way through this pandemic?
I would just say that, we're going to get through this. As an infectious disease doctor, I can think of a heck of a lot of worse things I would rather not have as a pandemic. So I'm not laying awake at night with an incredible amount of worry. I want to take care of us. I want everyone to take care of each other. And let's make this a Category 1, not a Category 5 hurricane.
What would keep you up at night?
What keeps me up at night?
What kind of a pandemic would keep you up? You said this.
Oh, you want to know about a pandemic that would keep me up?
Sure.
A plague, measles.
Right. Yeah.
Smallpox.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. On the order of pandemics that affected the world, when we look back at this in a few years, it's going to be like, whoa, that wasn't fun. And not to make light of it, because there are people who, there are going to be deaths. I mean, there already have been. But there are worse ones out there.
Well, so when we do look back, is all this economic heartache, all this suspension of sport globally, is all that going to be worthwhile as we look back in the rearview mirror?
You know what? If it protects our vulnerable people, if it cuts down on the number of deaths, if it cuts down on the number of hospitalizations, if it cuts down on the spread of the infections as we move forward, I would say absolutely 100% it's worth it.